Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, April the 22nd. I got my second vaccine today, so I am now, I guess, fully vaccinated until they tell us we got to take another one. But I don't think they're going to do that. I'm fully vaccinated right now. I've got my two shots. And, you know, the first one, I had no problems. I guess I'll tell you tomorrow, because I understand the second shot, there are some people who do have some reaction to it. So far, I haven't had any, and it's been over 12 hours. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Not quite 12 hours, maybe 10 hours since I took my shot. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about LeBron James. I have no idea why LeBron James has decided that he's going to be now all of a sudden a political spokesman for somebody or for some cause or whatever. But he's making a big fool out of himself. I wonder sometimes who these people listen to, whether there's somebody around them that says, you know, LeBron, tone it down, play basketball and tone it down. Well, what I'm talking about is this incident in Columbus, Ohio, where I guess a police officer shot a young black woman. Now, if you watch the video, there's a lot of room here to defend the police officer because I guess he was called to a confrontation between two young black women. One had a knife and was apparently going to stab the other one. The police officer, as I understand the story, I'm not saying this is the final story. I like to hear an investigation. But as I understand the story, the police officer told the young woman, put down the knife, and then she pointed the knife to him. And, you know, this guy's got seconds to make a decision. If he doesn't do anything, it's possible that one of the two young women gets killed with a knife. A knife can be very deadly. In fact, and sometimes more deadly than a shot, particularly to the neck or something like that. Or the young woman hits him with a knife and hurts him, potentially kills him. So, you know, again, these are split decisions. I tend to give the police here the benefit of the doubt, and that's, you know, but I'm also willing to sit back and wait for an investigation and let the facts come out. They will come out. We will have all the videos and everything associated with this. But LeBron James immediately puts out a tweet saying that he's sick and tired of, you know, black people being killed by the police. Then he puts out a tweet, I guess, with the picture of the police officer, and the caption on the tweet is, "You're next." I guess suggesting that the police officer is going to be targeted by somebody. I don't know. He puts this up. It didn't take long for him to take it down. I guess probably somebody did get a hold of LeBron and say, "LeBron, take that down. That's pretty stupid." So he took it down. And now, you know, his answer to everything is, "Well, I'm sick and tired of white people or white police officers, whatever," he said, "killing young blacks or killing blacks." Well, the problem with that is that, first of all, he did put up a tweet, branding a police officer as a killer and a racist, and that, you know, there should be some consequences for saying that, for being that irresponsible as LeBron James was. The other problem is that I don't care how many times we have these videos over and over and over and over again on television, whether it's Minneapolis or wherever it may be, the statistics do not support the idea that white police officers are out to kill black people. The statistics do not say that. The numbers of blacks killed by, let's say, white police officers or police officers in general is very, very small in a country of 330 million people. Now, I'm not defending it. Sometimes it's justified. Sometimes it's not. And if it's not, fine. Look into it. But to somehow say that we have an epidemic of police officers killing blacks is simply wrong. And again, it amazes me that LeBron James can make a statement like that and that the Lakers, the NBA, or none of his sponsors have stood up and said, LeBron, you're not going to sponsor our – you're not going to be our face anymore or our sponsor. Or the NBA says you're going to be suspended for a couple of games for making a statement like that about a police officer. I mean, so you begin to wonder, you know, are we playing here on a level playing field? Because I guarantee you that if it was the other way around, you know, there'd be all kinds of sponsors pretty angry at whatever the guy said. So are we playing on a level playing field? No, we're not. There's obviously a double standard. Some people get away with things that other people don't get away with. And that is how you lose credibility, and that is how you divide the country. LeBron James should go back to playing basketball. That's what he does best. He's an amazing athlete, maybe the best basketball player ever. You know, I don't know. I'm not that big of an NBA fan, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's better than Michael Jordan. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. Jordan was quite a player. And maybe LeBron is not as good as Jordan. I don't know. I'm not going to make that argument one way or the other. But I will accept that LeBron James is one heck of a player. But LeBron James recently here has become way too interested in politics, way too much of a commentator about politics, and he doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't know anything about it. And he needs to either get out of the arena and let other people do the talking, people who know what they're talking about, or he needs to start apologizing to that police officer in Ohio. Because what he did was completely wrong. What LeBron James did, putting that picture of the police officer with the caption, "You're next," completely wrong. Completely, completely wrong. And he apologizes, or the sponsors call him on the phone and say, LeBron, you got to apologize because we don't believe that you did something right. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I am just astonished, absolutely astonished at how crazy this whole thing is turning into. It's just absolutely insane that every time you have a confrontation between a white policeman and a black person, that automatically, it's always about race. Always about race when there's a confrontation, and it's not. The truth is that, you know, we don't know this police officer. There's no evidence from that video that he was motivated by race. Where's the evidence of that? There's none. He was simply a police officer acting, trying to keep two people from killing each other. That's what he was doing. So anyway, it's really crazy. And then to make matters worse, you have a White House that has really gone woke when it comes to stuff like this. And they're not helping the country one bit. They're dividing the country, the White House is. And this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. What the White House should say is, we don't know anything and we're going to wait for the facts. And then we'll tell you what we think. That's what they should do. But no, that's not what happens. Members of the media and the White House automatically jump to the conclusion that the policeman is wrong and that the black person is a victim of something. Of racism or systemic racism, which is the new way, I guess, they're describing everything. It's just absolutely crazy. I just don't know, you know, I just don't know how else to say it, but it's dividing the country in ways that are poisonous and not good. And we're going to end up, you know, I think we're going to end up being two countries if this stuff keeps going. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. A couple of quick stories. When I first saw these two stories, I wasn't sure if I was reading a joke or something like that. The first one is Vice President Harris is apparently doing a virtual conference with the president of Guatemala. I guess she didn't actually go down there. She's having she's having a virtual conference. And somehow she mentions that climate change is now part of the reason why we have a border crisis. Climate change is now part of the border crisis? I mean, how does these people get away with saying stuff like this? Climate change has something to do with the border crisis? They're not coming up here because of climate change. You know, you can say poverty. Okay, I'll buy that. No, they're coming up here because the border is open. That's why they're coming up here, because the border is open. Okay? Not climate change. I mean, it's crazy, but they say these things and they get away with it. The other really crazy idea going around, and this is never going to happen, I guess for the biggest reason is the Democrats do not have 60 votes. And as long as the filibuster stays, none of these crazy things are going to happen, unless they try to do it through reconciliation. But I'm not sure that's going to happen either. But anyway, this crazy thing about making a state out of the District of Columbia. You know, again, this is crazy stuff. And it passes the Congress on a pure party vote. I would like to know, I would love to have those Democrats, because the margin of difference in the House is maybe 3 or 4 votes. I mean, all you need is 3 or 4 Democrats to switch, and Nancy Pelosi does not have a majority. And I would love to have those Democrats explain to their constituents why, at this point in history, making the District of Columbia a state, why is that a national priority? Why is that even an issue? I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. It's like packing the court. I mean, another crazy issue. But this one made it through the D.C. statehood, made it through the House. It'll never make it to the Senate because they don't have 60 votes. And even if they did, I still think that this is something that would have to be decided by the states because, the District of Columbia was created by the federal government. And I think there is a constitutional amendment. I'm not 100% sure about that, but there was a constitutional amendment that gave the District of Columbia 3 electoral votes so that the people who live there have a say on the election, on the presidential election. They vote for president in the district, and they have electoral votes. They have 3. So it'll never happen, but it's just another crazy idea coming out of this really crazy Democrat Party of 2021. You know, a couple of days ago, I wrote a post at the American Thinker talking about what comes after this trial, because, you know, we've been so obsessed with the trial in Minneapolis that in a way we've forgotten or we've overlooked what's coming. And what's coming is the financial collapse of many of these cities, whether it's Minneapolis, whether it's Seattle, whether it's Portland. These cities have driven out so much business and so many taxpayers, and they have so many problems and so many buildings that are going to have to be rebuilt. They don't have the money to do any of that. So what I think is going to happen is that these cities are going to really start collapsing from within. They're going to have to cut back social services. They simply have no way of increasing taxes because their tax base is shrinking. And the more they increase taxes, the more the people are going to pack up and leave. So in many ways, whether it's New York City, Chicago, Minneapolis, Portland, and so on, these cities in a way are doomed. I mean, they're basically collapsing and sinking. And, you know, I predict that in 3 to 5 years, many of these cities are going to be just like Baltimore. You know, remember that Baltimore had riots back in 2015, and look at what happened to them. They became basically Baltimore is a dead city. Nothing happens in Baltimore. It's a dead city. It's only a city in name only. The real action in Baltimore, it's in the suburbs and outside of the city of Baltimore. So I think the same thing is going to happen in many of these states and many of these cities and states. And you're going to see the financial collapse and pretty much the suicide of many of these cities. Well, on this day in history, 1994, President Nixon passed away. And I have a post about that today, about President Nixon passing away on this day in 1994. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.